Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I am Charlotte Casaraghi, and in partnership with the House of Chanel, I present to you the Les Rencontres podcast. As part of the Rendez-vous littéraire at Rue Cambon, this podcast spotlights the birth of a female writer. You can listen to the various episodes and their authors on your preferred streaming platforms.
Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast.
Oh, conventional.
Conventional. I thought I'd go straight up, keep people on their toes.
Oh, fair enough. I feel like I need to make up for it now for the people who are like, licking your lips and shaking your hips.
Licking your lips and shaking your hips?
Licking your lips and shaking your hips?
Licking your lips and shaking your hips. That's your intro, is it? That's what you do when you eat food?
Oh, I'm not used to doing this part of it.
Yeah, I know, it's trickier than you thought, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. That's why sometimes you just got to do a straight down the line one. But welcome to the Off Menu Podcast with Ed Gamble, me, and that's James Acaster, who you've already heard.
Yep, I'm a genie.
This is where we speak to a special guest and we get their dream meal, which constitutes what, James?
Their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side and drink.
And this week's guest is wonderful comedian Sindhu V.
Sindhu's absolutely fantastic. She has a Radio 4 series called Sindhustan. She's been on Live at the Apollo and QI and all sorts of stuff. She's a fantastic comic and we're very excited to hear what her choices are.
I'm really excited about this episode.
Yeah, should be good. She's already been saying to us that she loves food and yeah. She could talk about it for a long time. So
she seems very set on what she might say, I think.
Yeah. I've had enough conversations with Sindhu to know that she absolutely believes in what she has to say. Whatever she's saying,
yeah.
She believes in it 100%. She backs herself. So
I can't wait to hear it. Well, hopefully she won't mention the secret ingredient, James. Every week we have a secret ingredient that we both hate, and if the guest tries to put it in their dream meal, that will be ruining our dreams, hence the whole illusion will fade, and they will have to be kicked out of the restaurant by the dream bouncer.
Yes, and today's secret ingredient is sweet chili sauce.
Sweet chili sauce, get off my plate.
Yuck!
Horrible!
What is the point?
Let's just have a lovely thin jam with all our savoury food, shall we?
Absolutely hot. This just ruins everything that it touches. I genuinely can't think of a single thing that it improves.
Yeah, totally.
There's nothing that you put it on that makes it taste nicer.
It's when you get it with Thai food and stuff and you're supposed to dip like prawn crackers in it or something. You're like, no, the prawn cracker is a lovely thing. I don't want to be adding pudding to it.
Yeah, like, I can kind of like, if people want to put like deep fried like prawns or whatever and dip it in there, I can kind of let that slide a little bit, but like that's as far as I'm willing to go, Ed. Anything else, it annoys me.
We're not letting it slide today. If Sindhu says sweet chili sauce, goodbye, Sindhu.
Goodbye, Sindhu, I'm afraid. But hopefully she won't say it, so we'll see. Fingers crossed, eh?
Fingers crossed. Well, let's hear if she says it or not. This is the dream meal of Sindhu V. Welcome to the dream restaurant, Sindhu.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome.
James, would you like to explain your entrance there to Sindhu, who has made a point of telling us before the podcast that she doesn't listen to podcasts before she goes on them? So I'd imagine that sound effect was slightly confusing.
Probably also confusing when I appeared out of a lamp just now. Wasn't it, Sindhu? I'm a genie. That's why I've appeared out of a lamp for you. That's why I can make all your wishes come true for your perfect meal. Also a waiter.
Okay. But is it only for perfect meals that you make my wishes come true?
Only for food.
Okay.
Food-based wishes. If you have any other food-based wishes, you know, I can take care of them. If you've any that you want to slot in now. Anything you'd like to change about food?
No, I like food. Food is good as it is.
Great.
There you go. No more food-based wishes. That's fine.
Easy day for me.
It's good to have a foodie on the podcast, someone who's been thinking about it in advance and thinking about all of this stuff, because we've had a couple of people on who are these people who just think of food as a fuel.
Mm. Yeah, I don't... I mean, I think food is a fuel,
it
also.
Is. Yeah, it is also that.
But even, you know, I mean, yeah. No, I think about food. I think about... I'm not fussy about food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll eat what I have to when I'm hungry, but I like to think about it while I'm eating it and think, this is the worst thing I've eaten. Why am I eating this? It's because I'm on a train. There's no other food. I wish I was not born a vegetarian. My life is crap.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'll be thinking about it.
Yeah.
I just won't eat something and not think about it while I'm eating it. And
sure,
I think about food like in advance. I think I'm going to go, you know, to that city in India because my cousin's getting married, and we'll go to that shop and eat that food. You know what I mean?
I do that. I base my whole day around food, or like even like holidays and things. I'd be like, you have to go to somewhere where you can have three nice meals a day.
Yeah, big
time. It's not a holiday otherwise, is it?
No.
No point. Why are you going that far if you're not going to plan your food in advance?
Yeah.
I will not go anywhere on holiday that's not like planned around food.
Yeah.
Or I won't, I don't go to Greece on holiday for that reason, because I don't like Greek food. It does nothing for me. And I'm like, well, I'm not going there, which has created some issues in my life. But I'm like, I'm not going there.
Really? Do you know other people who are big into Greek food?
Well, I know people who've had a wedding there and said, and like, I'm not going.
You said you're not going.
So my husband said, I'm not going. You're going to have to. So we never went. I said, I'm not going to go there.
Whose family was that?
That wasn't family. It was very close friends.
Very close friends.
Yeah. So, well, not my very close friends, because my very close friends don't get married in Greece. They get
not
married.
Anymore. He said, I don't want to go to your wedding because you're having
well,
it in
we
a country.
Well, we didn't say that. And it was so long ago that they're never going to listen to this podcast, so it's fine.
But they're not your friends anymore?
Well, I mean, you know, there's that group of friends you have, like from university that I didn't have, that he had. Yeah. They're kind of friends.
Oh, it's your husband's friends.
Yeah.
So your husband didn't go to the wedding of his close friends.
We didn't go. That's the bottom line.
Yeah,
because you don't like Greek food.
Well, I just said it's 3 days in some place. You know, I'm not going to eat that food, and I hate it.
Yes.
And it helped that we had young kids. So that's always like, let me tell you, if you're a mother of young children, you can back into that defense so easily and be like, but the children are so young. They will miss us. And really what you think is vine leaves with rice, forget it. Chance. Sure. Really.
Vine leaves with rice.
It's not going to happen. Greek food per se, fair enough, but not for me. We were saying, I will not go there.
You just wouldn't?
No, I mean, if one of my kids ends up wanting to marry someone in Greece, I'm going to have to make an exception. These are my children.
You would go to that wedding?
Yes, I'd go.
It would be very funny if you didn't, though.
No, I know, that would be something. But, you know, I'm not unreasonable.
No. No, it's very reasonable you approached the first one. To start, would you like still or sparkling water?
Still, but room temperature, please.
Oh.
Now, why is that a preference?
Because I think cold water before meals or during meals it sort of dampens the taste of the food. It's cold water going into your mouth. I've never liked it.
Never liked cold water?
No. Well, that's not true. In the boiling heat in India, I've liked cold water.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm sitting down to eat, even in India, if it's very hot, I don't have cold water. It's too aggressive. You know what I mean? Cold water is too aggressive.
I suppose it can dull the senses, can't it, if you're having very cold water?
Yeah, and it sort of makes your mouth be like, oh, I'm cold, not how does this taste,
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
So the next one that goes in your mouth, it's having to like...
Yeah, and also if you're eating warm food,
yep.
Then what are you doing having cold water? What message are you sending your face?
So you don't want to confuse your face, is the thing. Yeah.
You don't want to confuse
the whole thing. I think room temperature water is great, and so I always would like still water that's room temperature.
That makes sense. I mean, the thing is about Cindy is that everyone you always have a way of saying something that goes, yeah, I can't really argue with that, and then I'll probably end up halfway home and go, that was bullshit. What did I even go along with that?
Yeah, the notion of why have cold water with hot food, that I would have cold water with hot food.
Yeah, so if you stop and think about it, I guess,
But when
you're trying to balance
when you said, why have cold water with hot food, My first thought was, Cindy's probably right.
Yeah, but I mean...
Cindy's right, it would be ludicrous to have.
But I mean temperature hot.
Yeah.
Not chili hot.
No, totally. But
It just doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't
make
sense.
You see what someone might think, oh, something's too hot. They might want some cold water to cool it down.
Maybe, or you could just wait, or you do and cool your food, you know?
Blow on it.
Yeah, I mean, putting boiling food in your mouth in the first place and then drinking cold water, the whole thing is absurd. Just take a minute, sort yourself out, and eat the food.
Take a minute and sort yourself out. That's very good advice.
Yeah, this crazy person just eating boiling hot food.
Yeah, they're cooling themselves down.
Freezing cold water.
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah, just a proper...
cartoon character doesn't really make sense.
Well, Goldilocks. That's Goldilocks, isn't it?
That is Goldilocks all over. Look what happened to her.
Yeah, but also... She never brought up cold water. She just kept eating the things and then going through this family that had this, you know, sort of gradation of temperature in the food. But I suppose she could have just drunk cold water.
What I really like about your retelling of Goldilocks there is you at no point mentioned that they were bears.
Oh, yeah.
You just said they're a family.
They are a family.
Just family. Just three people who, a couple who met each other even though they both live lives of different extremes.
Yeah, but okay, see, if we're going to start taking Goldilocks apart, first of all, they're bears. Second of all, they're eating porridge.
Yeah.
That's already... So if you just say family, you don't have to deal with those little weirdnesses. You're just focusing on the temperature of the porridge and how she never drank cold water.
Yeah, so it's like you never have to... If you met someone... If you were friends with the bear family and then you met someone else who was like, what are you up to today? And you were going to see the bear family, you would leave out the fact that they were bears because it overcomplicates things.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I'm going to see a family that I know, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, and like we're probably going to eat porridge.
They've all got, they've got a chair each.
Yeah, and a bed each, and one is the right, you know, soft and this and that. Yeah. I might not even get into that.
No, because that makes them sound, it's too convenient, isn't it?
It's a bit weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then,
a lot of fairy tales, really, there's a lot of details you should leave out just to get to the point.
And every fairy tale's weird.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, you never think of it growing up. Then you sit down one day to read a story to your kid and you're like, oh my God, okay, fine. And then by the time you get to the end of like the first two fairy tales with your first child, you're like, we're skipping fairy tales.
Yeah.
Because they're making me, you know, and then you just tell them Aesop's fables or something where animals are talking, but nice things are happening. Sort of ish.
But do you pass them off as humans, even to your kid? The Aesop's fables just go, there was a...
No, because you have to read it from the book.
Human went to drink from the water. And...
No. No, because the great thing is, with kids, you know, they have such an imagination for... They say things like, my teddy bear talked to me, this ant is looking at me. So they have that imagination already. So
ant is looking at me.
Have you never had that?
They think an ant is looking at them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, you know, because in India, when we used to go for holiday to India, we're more open to the elements. There's flies and... And there's always an ant in a line going about their business as you do when you're an ant. And then one will stop every once in a while. And my son, when he was little...
Yeah.
He's not used to having ants in the house. So he would stop and it would stop and he'd say, Mama, this ant is looking at me. And I would say, so it is. So look at it. And then the ant would
leave. That wastes 5 minutes.
So hold on. The whole line of ants is walking along and then one of them just stops and just looks over and then carries on walking.
No, it doesn't look. It just stops and he thinks it's looking at him.
He stopped to have a little look.
Yeah.
I guess ants need to take a break. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a look around. Look at your son. Fair enough.
Poppadoms or bread, Sydney. Poppadoms or bread.
What's the first word?
Poppadoms.
Oh, papad. Right.
Huh?
Papad. That's what it's called. But that's
fine. Well, I'm not going to start doing that.
No,
How
don't.
Many episodes are we in now and you've been pronouncing it all wrong,
No,
James?
No, but you've been...
I've probably been pronouncing it wrong, but I'm not going to... I can't change it now. People will not appreciate
it. No, that's fine, because that's what it's called here. What kind of bread?
Whatever bread you like. Want.
Sardo.
You like some sardo?
That's it. Please. I'd rather have sardo. But also depends on the meal. But if we were in a vacuum and it was like, do you want papad or do you want sardo? I'd go with sardo.
Right, every time. Is
every
there
time.
A place where you've had the best?
Sardo?
Yeah.
I eat very good sardo here because I get it at this deli in our neighborhood, which is a Jewish deli. And so they have like old world breads and they have really good sourdough.
What's the deli called?
Panzer's.
Panzer's.
Panzer's Deli.
It's in
Northwest London.
Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. So, and because I stopped eating bread, which I missed, because bread is happiness.
Yes.
And then I stopped and I was not happy.
Why did you stop?
Because I was on that whole thing about, you know...
Low carb.
I wanted to be skinny and this is how you do it and low carbs. And then I was so unhappy. And of course, like any well-married person, I was like, my marriage must be shit. That's why I'm so unhappy. So I spent a few years on that. But turns out marriage is fine. It's just the bread thing was a big problem. I was just unhappy. Yeah. And so then I went to the doctor. Well, and I've had some digestive issues. And so went and talked to the doctors and this and that. And they said, you know, fermented food is good. Try sourdough bread. Great. And sourdough, but good sourdough, where you need to grow your own yeast. So I'm starting that.
So you've got a little...
It's going to start. I've just started making beetroot kvass. And now that I know how to do that, I'm going to start doing sourdough.
Right.
And but
what
sourdough,
was the first one?
Beetroot kvass.
What's that?
It's like a fermented beetroot drink.
Uh-huh.
Which I love because it's got salt and beetroot and it just fermented in a jar. It's kind of alive.
Yeah.
And then you drink it. And it's great. It's just
that's good for your stomach.
It's
as
very
well,
good
right?
for your digestion, yeah. Very, very good for your digestion.
That's great that you went to the doctor and they prescribed sourdough.
What a great doctor.
Yeah.
Well, it was like one of those alternative
oh, right.
doctors.
As in a baker.
From Panzer.
Yeah.
A baker at
it's
Panzer.
It's the man who runs that deli. Yeah.
You need some sourdough, young lady, and some hot cross buns.
Exactly. Which are also lovely, by the way.
Yeah.
But no, it's like a digestion doctor.
Okay.
You know, which is important now. I think everyone has something going on with digestion and we're all wondering why.
Yeah.
And I think it's because, you know, what you eat is a huge part of how you behave.
And how you feel day to day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So sourdough is great. So, but sourdough over papad, yes.
Would you have butter with that or just straight? Butter, very important.
Definitely butter. The better quality, the better.
Salted?
Sure.
Not bothered about the salt necessarily.
No, high quality butter is so good.
Thick spread.
Do you want some of your fermented beetroot on there? What was that called?
Oh, no, the drink.
Oh, it's a drink.
It's a drink, so I don't want it on my bread. It's alive. Thank you.
But it is alive.
It is alive. You're a very, very creative waiter,
yes.
Mr. Acastro, but I would not like
a drink
on my bread.
Do your children imagine that the drink that's alive is looking at them sometimes?
No, because they're older now, but they think this kind of stuff is so gross. They're like...
Oh, and it's talking to them?
Yeah, I think...
Morning, Kurt!
Yeah.
It's me, the drink!
No, it's me, Mr. Kvass.
Yeah.
I think a beetroot fermented drink is the opposite of what all kids would like.
Yes.
I think that's an anti-child drink, really,
it
isn't
it? And I'm not one of those people that thinks this is very healthy. I've realized this as an adult. Let me try and convert my kids.
Yeah.
No, because I've eaten so badly my whole life. I'm such a junk food addict that I think let them have fun.
Let them have
and
their
And then
time
they'll
doing
get
that.
To a certain age and they'll go to the doctor and they'll say beetroot class and then they'll
and
call
then
me.
And then you'll be ready. You'll be ready there going, how was the doctor? I've got some beetroot for you.
They'll be like, I have IBS. I'll be like, I've got beetroot kvass. We'll go.
They only enjoy it once they've like not... So I think you've got to just like not have it for ages, healthy stuff. And then you enjoy healthy food when you're older.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's literally what's happened to me. You know, I've always... I'm famous among our friends for having eaten so terribly for so long and gotten away with it. Gotten away with it is a euphemism for didn't put on weight.
Right, yeah.
And
what was your diet like back in the day then? What would you have day to day?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
There was this boy I had a crush on in college when I was in Canada. And I used to eat, like the corner store used to sell a slice of pizza for a dollar. So I used to eat that every day. And I had a crush on him and he was a bit like Birkenstock wearing, a bit, you know, this kind of granola type. I don't know what I was thinking.
Like a proper hippie type.
Well, he wasn't a proper hippie, but he wanted to be very new age.
Right, okay.
And he was also doing a master's in geography, which really tells me everything. I don't know why I didn't focus on it more. But you know, you have the hots for someone. What are you going to do?
Sure, yeah.
You're just like, I want to sleep with this person.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
Yeah, well, or whatever part of you wants. That's fine.
I'm not sure Sydney's heart was involved in this.
No. So anyway, you know, so anyway, so one of the things he said to me was, you eat too much of that pizza. And I'm like, oh, I can eat it every day. And he said, I bet you can't. And I thought, I said, I bet I can. He said, I bet you can't eat that. Like, that's the only thing you'll eat. I said, I will. 4 times a day for the next 42 days. I ate a slice of pizza. This guy finally was like, you need to stop. And, you know, so.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible.
So pizza, I used to eat pizza.
Did you ever smooch him?
That, among other things, yes. I think he was so impressed with my pizza experience.
Yeah. That's how you get him. Anyone... Listen to the podcast, looking for a sweet hookup.
If you've got a crush on someone, all you need to do is eat 4 slices of pizza a day for 42 days in a row.
42 days.
Yeah.
And I still remember I used to get the pizza and I would put, just to be clear, I would put a napkin, like a paper napkin down because they only gave it to you on a slice of, you know. You know,
what did the people in the pizza shop think of this?
They didn't care. They didn't care. There were so many students. It was on campus. They didn't care.
Yeah.
So what I used to do, I'd put the paper napkin down and I would sit in front of this boy and I would squeeze the pizza and the grease would drop onto the thing. And then I would eat it because I was like, I'm winning this. Like, whether we sleep together or not, I'm winning this thing so hard. He had to ask me to stop.
I'll sleep with you whenever you want.
Just stop eating
stop
the pizza.
Stop eating the pizza, please.
So I would eat pizza. I ate a muffin in the morning from the muffin place.
The muffin place.
The muffin place on campus. I drank only Coke. I didn't drink alcohol in those days. I just drank Coke. I remember distinctly a friend of mine came to stay with me. She's still a very dear friend of mine. She lives in New York. And she opened my fridge and she was like, there's Coke and dill pickles.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's fine. We can get pizza. She's like, no, no. Is this the only food in your flat? And I was like, pretty much. So
I have a jar of grease.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Squeeze with some pizzas.
Yep. Although I saw James's fridge yesterday. Mm. Opened your fridge. Looking pretty bare in there, buddy.
Yeah.
But it's your own place, so you don't give a shit.
Yeah, sure. But it was
the only things in there are jars of things that we've been sent free because we do a food podcast.
Yep. I had some salted caramel sauce, some praline paste that Selassie made us.
Yes, you've told me about that. Was it yummy?
Yeah, very nice. Okay. I kept putting it in ice cream. It's delicious. some sauce from the Rib Man, some Nando's sauce that I bought, some lemon curd that I got given free at a wedding.
And a stain that the builders left.
And a stain that the builders left from a drink. I don't know what it was, but they left a stain in the fridge and I haven't cleaned it yet.
But you know, if I didn't have children... I would eat like that. I mean, when I worked and was married and didn't have kids, I remember my nephew came to stay with us and he opened our fridge and there was two bottles of champagne in the fridge, some Coke and yogurt because my husband eats yogurt. And he was like, what should I eat? I'm like, I don't know. Like, why are you phoning me at work? You know, go find some food. I was like, you can drink what's in the fridge. And he's like, but it's 9 a.m. I was like, you know, go ahead. I don't mind. But if I didn't have kids, I would never. I was raised by a mother who is a fabulous cook, and we ate dinner every day together, and we ate three meals, and she's such a great cook. So I was just fed really well.
So you never had that time where you're like, I'm going to start doing this now.
Mm. No, and also I didn't like eating when I was little,
right?
Because they never cooked what I liked. Mommy would just cook food that was what was everyone wanted to eat, by which it was basically her and my dad, like grown up Indian food, and we didn't live in India. And I didn't want to take that food to school and be the one kid. And I know it's such a cliche, but you open your lunchbox and everyone's like, oh my, and I was at an American school and they all had lunch, like they had white bread sandwiches.
Yeah.
And they had such beautiful things in plastic. And I had, I don't know, like a samosa.
Mm.
And you know, if you're the only Indian kid in the class and that's your food, you just don't eat. And you hate that food.
I was always so jealous of the Indian kids at my school.
No.
When they opened their lunch boxes.
But like, you see, you had more than one. I was the only Indian.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. And my sister got lunch money because she was in middle school. She was much older.
Yeah.
So she would eat canteen food. So I think I had a terrible relationship with food. And we'd sit down, it would be Indian food all the time, except when my parents went out. And then we had alphabet soup from Campbell's.
Oh.
And it was literally like a gelatinous blob. But it was like, this is so good. This is American food.
We're getting the letters and spelling out,
yes.
I love the USA with it.
Yeah. I love USA. The USA. Yeah. And so I think that was part of the problem was I didn't like eating when I was little.
Yeah. Mm.
So I ate the food and my mother always cooked it. And I always associated cooking with Indian food, and which is, by the way, the only thing I cook now. So, you know, all that stuff. And then when we came back to India, Mommy started working, and then again she cooked, and it was then I started eating out more because I was older, and that was fun. But anyway, sorry, total digression.
And then eating for a while became a way of getting some men.
This
became a challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
For your starter, Cindy, what would you like? What could I get for you?
Oh man, okay. So for my starter, where are we? Are we in London?
But
you're a genie. You'll get me whatever I want.
Yeah. So wherever you want, anywhere in the world.
Okay, so there's a fresh white fish ceviche in Uruguay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's on this little island in Uruguay that I should remember the name of. That's a wedding I went to. But that's a wedding.
You had that.
I know. No, but it was the best. I mean, and by the way, I have two food lives. I've been a strict vegetarian up until 2010.
Mm.
And then I was told I had to change my eating habits. I got very unwell.
Yeah.
And protein, blah, 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 and red meat. And I was like, that's never going to happen. Because really, for a Hindu to eat a cow is like, you're really pushing it here.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, but, you know, and I was very unwell. And my dad was like, well, you need to practice dharma. Dharma is your correct duty. And your correct duty is as a mother. And if you're lying in bed and can't get out of bed, that's not a good mom. So eat what they tell you.
Right, okay.
So we made a compromise, the doctors and I, that I would eat fish. So I started eating fish in 2010. It was a huge deal for me.
Yeah.
It was a huge deal for me just because I'd never done it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm quite a, insofar as there's something called a practicing Hindu, I don't know. I am one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I, my husband eats meat, the children eat meat, but I just never did. So after 2010, I have a whole different food life.
Yeah.
Because I started eating seafood.
Yeah.
And so I went to Uruguay 4 years ago and had this ceviche, which exploded my brain.
Yeah.
And that's the one I want, please.
Oh, man. The first time I had ceviche was like, it was in New Zealand. And my girlfriend at the time, her grandmother made it. She'd just caught the fish that morning.
Oh, my God, right?
It was incredible. And I couldn't get enough of it. I've never had it. Didn't even know it existed. Before.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, but this is in Uruguay. Like, they caught the fish and they made it. And it was so fresh and it was so lemony and so hot, like chili hot, and so beautiful that I, you see, here's what was happening. I'm trying to think if any of the people in that group would, they might listen, but it's too late now. What are they going to do? So it was a big table like this. It was a big wedding.
Yeah.
And to go from London to Uruguay for a wedding, it's like you're flying forever. You go to Argentina and Buenos Aires and this and that. And so big table, and this ceviche was being made fresh and being brought. So after, and we were passing it around. After a while, I realized this is some very good stuff.
Yeah.
And soon these, either the fish is going to run out or whatever. So I began, I was on this side, the receiving side of the plates. I stole some of the table ceviche. I just took one plate and said, yeah, we're all talking. And I was like, and I put it down. And then the next plate. And then I just kept putting stuff from this plate onto mine. I never ran out of ceviche.
You put some under the table where you were. So you had your own little supply of ceviche all
and,
the time.
And then just kept pretending to them, oh, here's a new plate. And then adding from this plate. Because everyone really liked it. And it was going to run out because it was so fresh.
Sure.
And my, and I think my husband, who was on the other side, he figured out, he knows me very well.
Yeah.
He looked at me.
Of course.
And
my absolutely scandalous wife is at the event that I, she's probably storing up ceviche for herself.
Well, he kind of looked at me and probably he went, and he sort of looked at me and went, you know, and I was like, and he said, okay, this is happening. And it's very funny because last night I said to him, oh, I've got to think about, you know, food for this podcast. What's a starter? He said, the fucking ceviche. I'm like, you're right. The ceviche. He's like, you stole from the rest of the table, including the bride and bridegroom. Fuck it. You know, too bad.
You stole it food at a wedding.
So good.
You stole food at a wedding.
But Jeannie, that's ceviche, please.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that's ceviche. God. I'd like to try that.
So that's like loads of, so fish, but
marinated
marinated fish and citrus. So the citrus is curing the fish as it goes, basically.
Yes, and a lot of thinly sliced onions.
Yeah. Chilies?
There was in this one.
Sometimes there's coconut milk and stuff in there, but not always.
Not always. Yeah, this was like just soup. And the thing is, I don't know what they've done. And the fish is raw.
Mm.
But it's the citrus that starts to almost cook it, right?
Yeah. Well, to sort of tenderize it almost. Yeah. And it's really flaky white fish that's just been, sadly for the fish, 2 minutes before, in you know, Finding Nemo, and then now look.
Next thing
Finding
you know.
Nemo, yeah.
Exactly.
Always good to remember Finding Nemo when you're eating the fish.
Yeah.
yeah. So, yeah, that was, and you know, I think also with all food, it's the where and the how and the why. It was but I tell you what, I could be sitting in a dungeon. I would enjoy that ceviche.
Also, like, I kind of get, like, the stealing it stuff, because ceviche is always small.
It is.
And like the first time I had it, so it was, it's a huge bowl of it because I caught all the fish that morning.
Yeah.
And we were just putting it into big like cereal bowls.
Because it's not filling either, is it?
No.
So it's like light. It's quite light and fresh.
To me, I just want to be putting it away in loads of it, and you never get that opportunity.
No. And I was like, I flew to Uruguay. I deserve.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, it was a long flight.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful wedding. Yeah. But I was like, you know what? No one cares. No one minds.
No one minds. Sure. And it doesn't matter if the bride or groom aren't getting as much ceviche. It's not about, the day's not about them.
No. No, no, and they're getting married. They're getting that.
They've got this.
And they're getting that.
They've got those memories. You're not getting any memories, so no, you better make some with the goddamn ceviche.
Ceviche. Yeah. And you know what? I can see the ceviche still.
Yeah. But you can't remember who the bride was.
Yeah. Oh, no, I know her. I know her.
You can still see it. Some people never saw it.
They were like, oh, here's the sliver of onion and some lemon juice. Yeah.
At least
well,
you can,
I guess this is the start.
At least you can describe the ceviche to people who missed out on the day.
Yeah. I thought we just had lemony onions.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Your main course.
Oh,
this is a,
see, this
probably,
is...
I imagine something else you stole.
No. Well, is it just one main course, though? You guys can't do that to me.
Well, I think what you can do...
Have some honourable munchions? We can do honourable munchions.
Okay, honourable munchions, yes. I do, because, again, apart from the fact that I have two lives, fish and no fish, I also have several lives. Like, I grew up in India, and there's that food, but then I'm married to a Dane, and then I live in England. And so there's all kinds of... You know, there's just a lot of crowding of the food space.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're married into a different culture, you eat that food. It's not like, I mean, it's a choice, but it's not really, because part of the celebrations and this and that. Not that any of this is Danish, but I'm just saying. Okay. I'm just adding to. Okay, so here's the thing. So there's,
So if you got, if you've got a couple of honorable mentions, and then we'll go with the one that you're definitely picking.
We're going to go with this, because there's one that I know that only the genie can get me.
Okay.
So I'm going to mention that. And then the other one, which is an honorable mention, I could probably get again, even though the genie can get it for me, I could get it on my own. So that'll just be honorable.
Okay, that's fair enough.
So in Italy, in near Florence, but I think more near, it was near Florence. There was this place we went to live when we had very young children, two very young children. And it was like you went there all summer. It was hot. And it was sort of, it was like Airbnb before there was Airbnb.
Right.
And we went there. And the person who ran the whole thing, there was a very fancy hotel. And then they had these little houses. And the fancy hotel was run by an older Italian gentleman called Mr. Mancini. Now, Mr. Mancini, he was a great man, and he once showed us, we wanted to drive into the city, and he said, oh yeah, I'll show you where that is. And then he drove in his Fiat with his one hand out and a cigarette. Mr. Mancini was like in his late 70s, cigarette driving, like you would be driving a video car if you were playing Mario.
Yeah.
Maniacal driving, which as an Indian, I was like, my Danish husband was like, we're going to die. The kids were screaming because they thought they were having fun. But anyway, so Mr. Mancini was great. He was very, very nice. And then one day I said to him, I like hot food. And he said, arrabbiata. And I said, yes. And he said, I have my mother's recipe. And what I said to him was, yeah, but I mean really hot. Mm-hmm. Not realizing that Sicilians... No, really hot.
Chilies and yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like, I'm Indian. I had all that arrogance. Oh, yeah, I'm Indian. Mr. Mancini went into his kitchen, into the kitchen of the hotel, and made and invited my husband and I for dinner.
Yeah.
And made his mother's recipe of arrabbiata pasta with angel hair pasta. Mm-hmm. And I have never eaten anything that delicious, but oh my God, it was so hot. And I had to keep face.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. After you'd gone, I want really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hot food.
So yeah, I mean, I had to keep face. And so my husband and I, and of course, my husband was like, you know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I remember distinctly that the pasta tasted very, 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 very good. And the reason I'm saying this is the story is not about how hot the food was. The story was about the perfection that can be achieved in food when it's so hot that as an Indian, you think, you can't think. Your Danish husband has gone blind, basically. That's it. Because not cognizant of the world around him anymore.
Yeah.
But it tasted amazing. Those tomatoes, the way he had done them. Yeah. So you're fighting. You have a fight and flight response.
Yes.
You're like, I'm going to fight through to the taste. I want to run away from this taste.
Yeah.
And then so that was the best main course I can ever remember in the Western world that I've eaten.
Wow.
Because I know chili.
Yeah.
And to be able to maintain taste at that level of chili is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Beautiful thing. And those tomatoes were not sweet, but they weren't sour. They were just perfect. The pasta was, and it was angel hair pasta.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it was been made by Mr. Mancini.
Amazing.
I can't even begin to tell how great it was. Also, a little bit crude, but I will tell you that when we were growing up, my parents had like Western friends who would come to visit. And my father would always, and my mother and father would talk about the menu that my mother would make. And they would always say, you can't make the food too hot because these people get bad stomachs if they eat hot food. Bad stomach in India is a polite way of saying diarrhea.
Yeah.
And so it's not from the unpure food. It's so hot that apparently white people would just.
Yeah.
Just straight through.
And literally after Mr. Mancini's meal, I was like, that is what they were talking about. Aha. So it was the only time I was like, that's what mom and dad used to talk about with Westerners. But during that meal, the taste was outstanding. I've never forgotten it.
Yeah.
When you said mains, I was like, Mr. Mancini's arrabbiata. Jeez.
Mancini's arrabbiata. That sounds delicious.
How was your husband after?
No, like I said, he was blind, not cognizant, unconscious, delirious. He didn't know what was happening. And he stopped like within like 2 minutes. He was like, I can't. But, yeah. And it was
easy to steal it off of him when he's blind, of course.
Oh, I ate mine. Yeah. But you have to remember, my husband and I, we have this thing where we go to restaurants and we order. And then they bring like the fruit, like we'll go out for breakfast in New York and then they'll bring the fruit with the yogurt and they'll put it next to me and then they'll bring the pancakes and the French toast and the sunny side up eggs and they'll bring it to him and he's like, no, he's ordered the yogurt and the fruit and I've just got... And they always, they think maybe I'm... I don't know what they think, but it's always that moment where they look at me with different eyes. They're like, wow. But you know, if I'm going to eat something, I'm going to eat it properly.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, nothing to do with this, but if you ever go to LA...
Yeah,
you guys are gonna go to LA. So go to Griddle Cafe. You've already been, right?
Griddle Cafe. Maybe I have.
The pancakes.
Oh, the massive pancakes are humongous.
And no, but tasty.
Yeah. But like that was. So I think this is if it's the one I'm thinking of. So.
And there's always a line outside.
Yeah, I used to know someone who like lived around the corner from there.
Yeah.
So I went there one morning and ordered the pancakes, and it was like,
I
outrageous.
The occasions I go to LA, I go and have breakfast at a place called Millie's in Silver Lake. That do a dish. They do a dish called Devil's Mess.
What's that?
Which is like eggs and it's got, I think it's turkey actually as well, avocado, and then so like spicy, like super spicy with some sour cream on top as well.
Oh,
and it's
nice.
Huge, huge portion.
What is it about sour cream that makes everything taste better?
Yeah.
But if you're in the mood for pancakes, Griddle Cafe.
Griddle Cafe.
And also you'll be jet lagged, so you'll never meet the line.
Sour cream on waffles as well. Oh,
God. Oh my God. Yeah. Sour cream
some
is
sour cream
so
on
good.
Some waffles that have got like scrambled eggs and bacon baked into
oh
them.
Oh my God.
And sour cream on top. What I'd like to eat right now.
Yeah.
I know, me I too. Minus
only there was a magical genie around to get it for me. It's the curse of being the genie. You can't feed yourself.
So, Mr. Mancini's Arrabbiata, is that an honourable mention?
No, that's the main
thing.
That's the one.
It has to be.
That has to be the one.
Is there an honourable mention you
yes,
want
to... Yes, so the honourable mention is, if you're in Delhi,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and you want to go to Chandigarh, for whatever reason, it's up in the north, sort of northwest Punjab, and you can go there to do a gig,
mm-hmm.
or you can go, there's a very famous temple, up there, you might want to go to that temple. Mm-hmm. It's a Shiva temple. But anyway, if you're going and you go by road because it's the best way to travel and you're with your friends, you will always pass a place called Murthal. It's just a little town, but the big, it's not even a town, it's smaller than a town. But Murthal is a place where there's a tradition in India of roadside restaurants because a lot of trucks, a lot of truckers and so on. It's the equivalent of the American diner.
Mm.
And they're called dhaba. Murthal dhaba makes parathas, you know, mm-hmm. But you know what paratha is?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I have grown up in India. I have eaten a lot of parathas in my life. But let me tell you, they make them filled with paneer, gobhi, which is cauliflower, potato. But they make them fresh and they serve them. They're about, I would say 8 inches across.
Yeah.
And like, I would say maybe 1.5 to 2 inches thick, fresh. Fresh vegetables, they're made in clarified butter.
Mm.
But when they serve them hot, steaming, and it's quite cold as you're getting up there, they put a dollop of homemade salted butter on it.
Oh, wow.
And you have, I mean, I cannot express to you the sort of joy that that brings. And I mean, calorically, it's like, you know, your 6 months worth of how many calories
yeah,
you should
eat. Yeah, but when you're having, there's no point going into that worrying about the calories,
no.
right?
No, because also it is the most soul nourishing food.
Mm.
So parathas from Murthal, in particular the cauliflower one.
Yes.
You know, I have some very close friends now in comedy and sometimes they say, oh, I want to go to India. And I say, I will take you and we will go to Murthal first. They're like, what's that? I'm like, shut up. And then they say, I want to see Taj Mahal. I'm like, waste of time. We'll go to Murthal first.
Yeah.
It's the one gift I want to give.
Yeah.
Anyone who goes to North India, go to Murthal and eat the parathas. Because really, that is India in a way that you can't see on a postcard.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's an honourable.
That's
mention.
What I want. Whenever I go
would
abroad,
buy a postcard with one of those on, though.
And then eat the postcard.
Yeah,
and
then eat
it
the postcard.
So
yeah.
And then I'll lick the postcard.
Put a dollop of butter on the postcard.
Oh, my God. I'm sure if I look in my phone, I have the pictures somewhere. From when I went. But
it's delicious.
Oh, my God.
That sounds amazing. So that's an honourable mention.
Yeah, I mean, just it's imagine. Just imagine.
Mention.
You've got flaky flour.
Buttery,
flaky, buttery. And then inside, you've got slightly spicy potato or cauliflower, and it's just the right amount of salt and just the right amount of spice, and it's all steaming hot, and that's you're just eating that. Just imagine.
Oh, I tell you what,
this is the hungriest I've been on a podcast.
You're very good at describing food, and I think this is going to appreciate this episode.
Yeah. Oh boy,
you're very, very good at describing this.
Literally,
food.
If I didn't have kids, I'd just leave here, go to Heathrow, take a flight, go.
Do it now.
Just go straight to Delhi and then sit down.
I have kids, I'm going to do it.
Exactly, just go.
Off the back of that 5-minute speech about those parathas, I would commission you for a full travel show series.
Yeah, I'll send you out.
About food.
Yeah, just talk about food. You and your blind husband.
10-part series, all about taking your husband around, trying to make him blind.
Yeah, each episode you just see if you can make him blind.
Oh my God, poor guy.
That's fair.
Poor guy. If I'm not allowed to do this, you can just say no.
Okay.
But there's one more honourable mention for main course, but you can say no.
You can do an honourable mention if you want. It's an honourable mention.
So, again, fish life. Mm-hmm. I started eating fish when we were in the south of France. Because we were in the south of France and my husband was like, the fish is really good. You're never going to eat it because you have such a huge issue. But if you ever felt like eating it, then I remember I reached over and I put it in my mouth and I was like, what does this taste? But anyway, there is a place in south of France, in Saint-Tropez, called Club Tahiti. And they do a salt-baked sea bass.
Right.
It's a whole fish. It's big. Mm-hmm. But. When you have lunch in Tahiti, there's also women walking around the tables, modeling very skimpy beachwear, mm-hmm. and the music is loud and everyone's drinking and it's kind of on those Saint-Tropez kind of scenes.
Yeah.
And so these women are walking by and they're sort of in their bikinis or what should be bikini, but is, I don't know what, anyway, and they're doing that. The salt baked sea bass is so good that when it's served, I know men who are like, I need to eat this. I can't be looking at this. It's that good, right? I've seen it. And the thing is with this is it's literally fresh.
Yeah.
And they've done nothing but bake it in salt. And to make a fish like sea bass melt in your mouth, taste amazing, just because it was covered in salt with that kind of whatever, that butter thing that they put in with it.
Yeah.
That's very good. Also, I mean, it has the power to magnetize you away from stuff that you might otherwise really have a hard time not paying attention to.
Yeah.
That must be, that's a really good way of making a chef up their game, isn't it?
Yeah.
And say, look, we're going to make some bikini-clad women parade around. Yeah. We're going to put really loud music on. So you're going to have to make a dish yeah. that will distract people from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and when we say bikini-clad, I mean, this is Saint-Tropez. We're talking about Victoria's Secret angel level.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not just talking about like me strutting on a bikini. People are like, I'd rather eat. No, I mean, I'm talking about that. And it's just amazing because I've always watched as the fish has arrived and everyone else has, you know, up until then, they can't get their eyes off this. They just, and then they're like, oh, let me eat this instead.
I've never been to a strip club. But from what Cindy just said, I might start eating in strip clubs. Yeah, exactly. It sounds like the food there is amazing.
Apparently, I've seen things where apparently there's amazing steak in strip clubs. Like people will go to strip clubs in America for specific ones for steak.
Is there amazing steak or is that
excuse? Like I read it for the articles?
You got to go, yeah. You got to go there for the steak. That's really good. Your side dish.
Moving right to the side dishes. Side dishes really, you know, I'm not much of a side dish person. It's not a huge part of Indian eating, but it's not a huge part of my eating. Mm-hmm. Like if I like a side dish a lot, I'll get four and have a main dish of it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not, but I thought about it because it's your podcast and I kind of, I'm fond of you too. So I thought, let me do my homework.
Thank you very much.
And I thought any kind of dauphinois potatoes.
Mm. Oh, yes.
And then I thought, well, yeah, but that, like, when you say any kind, what do you mean? I thought, well, where have I eaten them that they're good? And then I thought, well, there's a place in London. It's kind of fancy schmancy. They make very good ones. It's called Le Petit Maison. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I mean, they're not the best I've eaten in the world, but I can't remember where the best were because it's something I eat often if I can get my hands on it. And if I somehow feel compelled to have a side dish.
They're Ed's favourite kind of potatoes.
Are they?
They are. They're my favourite kind of potatoes.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
Because?
Because we went through a phase of asking each other
what our favourite potatoes are.
Yeah, there's a group of friends that we've got who are all comics. And one day we were all bored and just did our favourite type of potatoes. And I just remember that Ed, because no one had thought of that one yet. And Ed had held back a bit. And then when he said that, a lot of us were like, oh, actually.
Yeah, that's a great kind of potato. Especially if you make them with proper cream and butter.
Yeah, of course. You've got to go full.
Right, and you've
got
to slice the potato so it's not too thin.
Yeah, you don't want too thin, but you don't want too thick either because then it's just like a steamed potato in the middle.
Yes,
you just
need really important.
Layers, lots of layers.
And you need the layers so that, because the thing is with dauphinois potatoes is that if they're just the right thickness, then the cream and the butter are sort of, they're integrated with the potato, with each potato when you eat it, right? It's not like, and that's really important.
Very important.
That's really important.
Oh.
I mean, I suppose my favorite kind of potato is Danish Christmas potatoes. They're caramelized, but that's not a side dish, as in you only have it at Christmas. But you just said
what
favorite
do you mean
kind of
potato. They're caramelized. So
yeah, they have little new potatoes.
Yeah.
And they caramelize them with butter and sugar, and they're a side dish, and they are beyond the beyond. And my father-in-law makes the best, I'll say that.
You can have them as your side dish if you want.
You can't really have Christmas food outside Christmas.
Okay.
I mean, that's a rule you're imposing on yourself.
Yeah, there's no rules at the restaurant, so if you want
to have that side dish if you want it.
No, I can't, because if I eat it now, I'll be like, this is some cognitive dissonance I don't need.
You'll feel like it's Christmas.
Yeah.
No, I'll feel like it's not Christmas, and somehow I'm eating these potatoes. Yeah. It's very wrong.
You'd be confusing your face again. You don't want to confuse your face. Yeah.
You don't want to confuse
my face would be like, what? There's no tree, no presents, bitch. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it would be too much for me.
I also shout out potato-wise to Potatoes Boulangère.
Uh-huh.
Oh, what's that?
They're sort of like dauphinoise, but instead of the cream and butter, it's stock.
Oh.
So, what my mum does this a lot, is she'll do a roast lamb, but she'll roast the lamb on top of Boulangère. So it's just thinly sliced potatoes and stock, and then you put the lamb on top, and all of the lamb just pisses juice all over the potatoes, and it really is absolutely incredible.
Until you use the word pisses, it sounded delicious.
Yeah, I was going to say that's and made onion, it a little
thin,
weird.
Thinly
yeah.
sliced onion as well, so yeah. it's onion
just,
and potato.
Just dribbles juice.
Yeah,
dribbles
I've got used to like hearing Sindhu describe food in a very intense and delicious manner,
then
you wade in and say pisses juice all over
it. I'll change it. The lamb... jizzes
no,
juice
stop.
All
just
over
just see there you go this
it
is why
spunks up, it spunks up juice all over
nice
it vomits juice all, yeah
no not vomits I mean jizzes was better than pisses.
I heard a great jizz joke by the way
go for it
but I can't really tell
go for it while we're in the neighbourhood why not
because it's a visual joke
okay.
so I can tell
describe,
you guys
you do the joke
And then we'll describe the visual.
I think it's a joke that everyone knows because it's. But I have only.
It's a shame
heard
that you like visual jokes with your blind husband. can't appreciate any of these jokes.
It was a temporary blindness.
Yes, right. It was. Yes, yeah. He wasn't permanently made blind by the pasta. Yeah. Otherwise, that would be very dark if you came on and you chose the main dish. Yeah. Oh, that pasta that ruined my husband's life permanently.
Unfortunately, once the blindness subsided, that's when the diarrhea really kicked
exactly,
in.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in time to see what he'd done.
Exactly. Poor guy. So anyway, so I just, can I just say the joke? That was such a great joke, but I feel like everyone knows it. So if, anyway, so there's a guy goes, there's two people in a kind of a medical clinic and they're waiting for the lift and the lift comes and they both go in and there's a man, it's a man and woman and the man says to the woman, what floor? And she says, fourth floor, I'm going to donate blood. And he says, okay, and he presses 10th. And she says, oh, are you going to donate blood up there? He said, no, I'm going to donate sperm. And she said, oh, how much do you get for that? And he said, well, I get $100 a squirt. And what do you get for blood? And she's like, I get $2 for a liter or whatever. Like, so he says, okay. Anyway, then the next day, a couple of days later, he's back. And she's there again. And they go in and he says, fourth floor. And she says, where are you going? She goes, get it?
Yeah.
That would be so weird if you didn't get it. I would have told it very badly.
So for the listener, he says, what floor? Cindy Sugarhead. He says, where then? And then she points upwards while bulging her cheeks
she's
up.
She's got a mouthful. Mouthful of sperm.
Come on, mate. I don't spell it out.
Mouthful, she's gone and sucked someone off and she's got a mouthful
he's
of sperm
like
and she's
this.
Going to donate.
He's always like this. I mean,
it's really, I mean, okay.
You're playing into his hands.
Okay.
Do I turn that into a disgusting pun as well? right. Which leads us quite neatly onto your favourite drink.
I love it when there's a joke that's so open wide that not even it's so blue, but even James has to go for it. Like, come on, someone's going to do it.
So, drinks wise, again, I came to alcohol very late in life. And so I've got two lives, and my alcohol life deserves a mention.
Okay.
So my favorite drink ever was in when I first started hanging out with my husband and we got married, which was all very quick. Like between the hanging out and the marriage was not even a month. So
oh, really?
Very quick. Got to watch the show if you want to hear about it because I really can't go over it again.
Okay, yeah. Watch the new show, everyone. Do you want to plug it now?
Anyway, he took me one day to have a drink at the London Savoy.
Okay.
And it was the London Savoy White Russian.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I wanted to drink tequila. I was a classy gal. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, have some tequila. Like, and he said, no, you got to have this drink. He's a more cultured person. Let's be honest. Let's just be honest. He's more cultured. So he said, try this. I don't like cream. But that drink, the way they made it there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a White Russian from the London Savoy. Every time. I don't know if this is all imbued with that first romance thing, that nostalgia, but all food. I mean, as my mother says, bhuke ko to kebab bhi papad nazar aata hai. You know, which means I should translate that to the hungry person, even the doorway looks like crisps. Because you're so hungry.
Sounded wiser beforehand. Before you translated it, it sounded a lot wiser. it did not sound. I thought, what is this wise old parable that we're about to be told?
And it's literally, it's madness.
Even the doorway looks like crisps.
Well, you're so hungry. you'll eat anything.
Sure, right? Sure.
Even the dog. Sure. To the hungry person.
But when you said it initially, we both nodded. And we were like very so respect. Solemnly. We both respectfully nodded. Yeah. Like, that sounds so wise. It sounds so wise. It's just the thoughts of a mad person.
If the tiger has not eaten a kill.
No.
It's literally the equivalent of in a cartoon where someone's hungry and they see their friend as a big roast chicken.
There you go. It's exactly. Yeah. Because when you're so hungry,
yeah.
The point was your mind and how you feel about food are very interconnected.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, to come back to my white Russian, it might have seemed, that might seem the favorite drink I've ever had because of that time.
Mm-hmm.
But also they make it very well. I don't know if they make it anymore like that because they had a refurb.
Right.
And then I never went back. So I'm like, I don't want to be disappointed.
Sure. Yeah, you got
and I tried having a white Russian elsewhere. Meh.
Well, I mean, I have white Russians once a year. So I don't have them.
On a specific day?
Yep. I don't have them any other time.
When do you have them?
Once a year. And I drink them all evening at Nish Kumar's birthday. So that's the only time.
Oh, the one in Edinburgh?
Normally it's in Edinburgh. It falls in August, so normally we're all in Edinburgh. And I can't remember how the tradition started.
Well, Nish loves it.
So Nish likes them anyway, so we drink on his birthday. And it's a bunch of us then were like...
Has he been on this podcast and said it was his favourite drink?
No.
No.
Good. He can't.
And he was on the Christmas episode, so had to stay quite Christmassy.
Okay,
so he's completely off your turn. I mean, he could have had those potatoes.
He could have had Danish Christmas potatoes if only
you knew they existed.
Yeah, exactly.
But 1 year... Because it's a Brass Monkey in Edinburgh.
I went there for this August, but I didn't know about the white Russians.
Yeah, so normally, we had so many white Russians that Stuart Goldsmith had to go out and buy some more milk because the bar ran out of milk.
And cream.
I think they do it with milk. This one wasn't cream.
See, I can't. So that's the thing. Then I would be sad.
I don't drink it because I don't want to drink milk all night. I think that's a recipe for disaster with booze.
I know.
I think it's a recipe.
Although this year at Nish's birthday, I had 6 Bloody Marys, which was also a mistake.
Jesus.
I was full. I felt like I was just drinking soup all night.
Yeah. Gazpacho.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with drinks that you have to have when you have the thing, so that's very important. That's super important.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain friends of mine where it's like, if we meet, it's like, okay, it's tequila.
Mm.
It's tequila slammers because there's no other really, and there's no other way to lubricate this. This is how we roll.
Yeah.
And for me... Like if I've had a serious day, not serious bad, but serious, then I have to drink bourbon.
Right.
And I tend to drink bourbon. I drink whiskey and bourbon. I don't drink, I drink gin and whiskey and bourbon. But whiskey.
Favorite bourbon?
I would say my favorite bourbon is Bullet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
It's a good,
solid go-to everyday
it's
bourbon.
It's a good, solid bourbon. I like Eagle Reserve.
Yeah, Eagle Reserve.
But, you know, Eagle Reserve can be harsher.
Yeah.
And you've had a serious day. I don't know if you need a harsh bourbon. Mm-hmm. But if you go to Bullet, you're great.
I'll tell you, one I had recently, which I really enjoyed, was Blanton's.
Blanton's
is a really cool bottle as well. It's got a little horse on the...
Ah.
It's like a little statue of a horse on the thing. And Ivo Graham bought me a bottle, actually, to say thank you for giving him a gig. And it's one of the best bourbons I've had. It's delicious.
That's how Ivo thanks people.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was going to say, classy chap.
Jeez, I've given people gigs before.
It was when we were stuck in New York
uh-huh.
and I couldn't do a gig in Weymouth.
All right.
So I said, Ivo, can you go and do this gig for me?
It would be much cooler if you were in Weymouth and gave him a gig in New York.
Ivo helped you out.
But it was a good gig. It was good money.
Right.
And he was very grateful
for taking
the gig.
It must have been good money buying him Blanton's.
And he bought me a bottle of Blanton's. Thank you very much, Ivo Graham.
Well, I remember that next time I need someone to fill in for me.
Yeah.
A gig.
Like, here's a gig I will expect the Blanton tomorrow. And then, of course, I drink single malt. But, you know, that's when you're just relaxing. There's no agenda.
I don't know anything about single malt. Scotch is a confusing world for me.
Oh, but I only drink Japanese, so I don't have to.
Okay,
deal
so
with
I've just started. I've just started getting into that.
Oh, I'm big into that.
Yeah,
yeah.
What have
you had?
I went to Japan and brought back a bottle of Hibiki.
What kind of Hibiki?
It was the Master's Choice.
That's the mix. Yeah, that's a good one. That's an easy
it's
one to
very
drink.
Very good.
Super easy
I've
to
been
drink.
Through it. I've gone
but
through it already.
Looking very impressed at that.
No, but it is because it's a really. When I say it's a blend, I don't mean that in any pejorative way. I just mean it's a really easy whiskey to get to.
Yep.
You don't feel like you've had a big whiskey and, you know, you need to go into Glasgow and fight with people. It's just it's like a really relaxing drink. But there's also Yamazaki, which is a bit more, I would say it's a bit rougher.
Fiery.
Mm-hmm. But Nikkei from the Barrel.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful one. Because it's
Nikki from the Barrel.
Nikki from the Barrel.
It's similar to Jenny from the Block.
Sounds. Yeah, sounds. Yeah, yeah. Could be. Yeah. No, but Nikki from the Barrel is good. It's sort of in between.
Yeah.
But Hibiki, good choice.
It was lovely. I've been through that very quickly.
At the end of 2018, I had to decide to drink less.
Okay.
By which I mean specifically drink less whiskey.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing I was drinking. And I just had to drink less whiskey because it was getting to the point where I was drinking whiskey every day. Mm. And if you drink whiskey every day, it becomes a serious drink.
Yeah. Sure.
And I was imagining drinking it all day. So I thought, this is not going well for me.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not going well for me. And the one thing I will say is that I missed Hibiki.
Yeah.
Now I'm fine. I haven't had, I don't drink that much. And I had bourbon over the weekend. But great choice.
I'm drinking whiskey. I've got some Japanese whiskey at home. Don't know what it's called. Have no idea.
It'll be
but,
great.
But I'm going to have it today.
Good. Tell me what it's called.
Oh, well, I'll text you. I'll let you know what it is.
And you know what I'm going to do straight after we finish recording this is I'm going to go to a whiskey shop in Soho and buy some Japanese whiskey.
Oh, good, because I thought you were going to say you're going to piss over some lamb or something. Your dessert.
My dessert.
Your dessert. We come to your dessert. God. This is the one that I get most excited about every week.
Okay. So dessert. So I have my dessert theory,
which is
you guys are gonna love this because it's anyway. Dessert theory is so when I first started eating, when my husband and I would go out to eat before we were husband and wife even, he's a very healthy person, and so he would be like, if I have this main course, I can't have dessert. And the first time he said that, I was like, what? That's not how it works.
No.
And he was like, what do you mean? I'm like, don't you know how the stomach is? There's a room. There's main course room and a beverage room and this room. And then there's a dessert room.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's like whatever you have in the main course room doesn't affect the dessert room. And he said, that doesn't make sense. And I'm like, let me ask you this. Would you go into your kitchen and take a shit? And he said, no. I'm like, there you go. So that.
What's great about it is that I know that's before. You said it was before you were married, and you've already said that there wasn't much time between you. Already it was. Let me ask you this.
Within a month of knowing him, you went. Let me ask you this. Would you go to the kitchen and take a shit?
And he said no.
Well, you marry me.
No, but it's a question. I said there are certain things you don't do in other rooms. So what do you mean doesn't make sense? He said you've converted me completely. And after that, has never stopped to wonder about main courses and desserts.
He said you've converted me completely. Because the amazing thing about... So I suppose say I've got a dessert stomach and all that stuff. But... Obviously, that's not how the stomach works.
So of course it is.
If the stomach is divided into little rooms for different things, you would have a point to say to him, look, would you shit in your kitchen? But as it is, I thought what he was objecting to originally was him being like, oh, but those are different separate rooms in your stomach. But you thought he was just saying, you thought, no, he's bought into that.
Yeah.
Those are rooms. I've just got to...
Yeah, he said, you've converted me. I said, great, then let's start eating and stop this kind of, fear.
Yeah.
So he said, okay, and here we are.
And also, that was the day he stopped shitting in the kitchen as well,
wasn't
it?
That's the day he said, oh, I mustn't do that now. Sindhu's explained
how
the food thing...
Sounds like I should not be shitting in my kitchen.
But I think the thing is, it's about removing fear from eating well. A lot of people worry. And I think the moment you worry, your mind, body, and soul releases certain things in your body, and then that food doesn't benefit you.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have the room theory, then you hog out what you want, and then you work it out over time. Do you see?
Sure.
I mean, doesn't mean you turn it irresponsible. Yeah, I've had a 1 week dessert-a-thon. Of course I have.
Yeah.
Where I only ate desserts every day for 1 week because I could.
Yeah.
And it turns out after a week, you're like, oh, that's a lot of dessert. I don't feel like dessert. You know what I mean? Like, you don't just keep doing it and then die of sugar one day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It stops. So... Okay, so that was my dessert.
It's a good theory.
I thought you should know about my theory.
Yes.
So, this dessert. I always liked sweets and always liked dessert. Mummy didn't let me eat a lot of dessert because she said you're 5'10", which is so abnormal. And agar zyada khaagi to pahad ho jaogi. If you eat too much, you'll become a mountain. Then who will marry you? So it was a huge thing for me.
That I was less of a left turn than the crisp.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was going to be. If you eat a dessert, your head will become a cherry.
No, it's all about chini, sugar.
Yeah.
And then she used to say, you know, that you're anyway so weird and 50 saal ki dhonda, you'll be a 50-year-old dhonda, freaky giant, no one will marry you, this, that. Anyway, so eating dessert was like a big thing. Eating dessert and not being allowed to go out and come back when I wanted. Mm-hmm. Two big things.
Yeah.
I came to university here and I was allowed to come because it was a big deal. And the two things that first of all, I came to the student accommodation. I had my own key.
Yeah.
I was like, I can come and go. I used to do my laundry at 3 a.m. because I could. I just be like, oh my God, I can do it.
Have a little party.
And the second thing I discovered was there was a restaurant in the town where my university was, and it was called Bella Pasta. And they had a dessert called the Godfather.
I think I know this dessert.
Okay, first of all, it's about 6-7 inches round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got brownies and ice cream and cream and chocolate fudge sauce and more brownies and cream. And then it has sparklers.
Yes, I know the Godfather.
And they put the sparklers and they bring you this dessert. And it's a sharing dessert. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, when I was at university, I ate one by myself.
That's 3 days a week. He's the Godfather with the sparkles, isn't it?
Who are you trying to get off with this time?
No, not yet.
Don Corleone.
No, I hadn't yet even.
Well, it's the day of your daughter's wedding. I can eat 3 of these a week.
I hadn't yet progressed to all about boys yet.
Yeah.
I was still stuck on keys and dessert. I was like, what is happening? Although, to be honest, I had a year and a half. I'd been allowed to leave for a year and a half before I had to go back and have an arranged marriage, which would have been fine. It really would have. I always give that caveat because people always think, oh, arranged marriage, that's terrible, poor her. Mm. Not forced marriage, arranged marriage.
Yeah.
So I knew in that year and a half, I had lots of things to do. Mm. Primary among which was to have a boyfriend and to get laid.
Yeah.
Because afterwards, I wouldn't really have any choice. As in, I would get laid, but with this one person, what if it was bad, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
And so that was a huge mission. But only after the key and the Godfather thing, then it became a huge mission. But oh my God, that dessert. You know what I'm talking about, Ed.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about. I don't think I've had this. I've never had a dessert with sparklers in it.
Oh, I've seen this every time.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little fat boy, so I do remember going to Bella Pasta and being like, I'm getting the Godfather.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I'd be like with my mum, I'd be like, we should share the Godfather. And we both knew I was eating most of that.
I didn't even used to go with anyone. Yeah. I used to go myself.
Yeah, that's a baller move.
And and because I...
For the third time that week. Same branch every time, obviously.
There was only one.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a small town.
Just making sure they must have
recognised you when you came in.
They were like, oh, hello.
Would you have a main meal as well or just the Godfather?
Depending on what time I had between tutorials.
So it was a time issue.
Because I used to play basketball. So there was like a limited amount of time during, you know, that you could do shit and write your essays and go and read them out and all that stuff. But my friend, who's still my friend, the New York one, she said to me recently, she said, you and that Godfather thing. And I was like, I know. But the reason it's the best dessert I've ever had is because sometimes the best food you have is the one that opens your mind to the notion that that stuff exists.
Yeah.
Yes, sure.
I'd never experienced such a thing.
So, well, it's like, I had the same thing when I went to uni where you suddenly realize I can eat whatever I want, whenever I want. And it just, everything tastes like freedom.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything tastes like freedom. Yeah. And all that chocolate, I love chocolate. And then the sparklers, it was such a celebration every time.
Yeah,
it was a celebration that I was at the university, that I was hopefully going to get laid, that I was eating this. It was just, the whole experience to me was so great.
The first time you went in the kitchen, they must have been like, oh, we've got Godfather, make one Godfather. And they're like, this is for this lady's coming alone. There must have been a decision where they're like, do we put the sparklers in this time?
Yeah.
No, but
I that every time. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so they get some sparklers.
Yeah,
you're celebrating one day getting
late. Yeah, exactly. Someday getting laid. Exactly right. But also, I didn't always go alone. But if I had to go and there was no one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I went. It was such a great dessert. But that was funny, though, because the first time I went there with my boyfriend, he was Swiss and older, and he was doing a PhD, and he was very erudite. Mm. I will never forget. He said, oh, you know, he wanted to go to an Italian place. And I was like, oh, we have to go to Bella Pasta, which I think for a lot of Europeans was kind of like, ugh. You know, and we went there, and he spoke 3 languages and all that, and we sat down, and I said, oh, I'm going to have the Godfather. He was You know, he was a little troubled, I'll be honest with you. He didn't have the open-mindedness of my husband, sure. who would have been like, you go for it.
Yeah. And
he was like, oh, that's so, sort of, that's so amusing.
Mm. Mm.
And I thought, you're missing out on this, yeah. but that's really your problem. You go ahead and eat that creme brulee shit. I'll have this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do remember, but...
That's probably an image of you, like, looking across the table at him and just eating the Godfather and saying to him, let me ask you a question. Would you share your own? Would you share your kitchen?
That never came up. That never came up.
That, oh, we got laid one day.
That never came up. So that was my favorite dessert, really, and it was a big deal.
Oh, that's such a good choice, I think.
Let me read your menu back to you. You would like some still room temperature water.
Yes.
You'd like some sourdough from Panzers.
Panzer.
Panzers. Your starter, you would like whitefish ceviche from Uruguay. The main, you would like Mr. Mancini's Arrabbiata.
Oh.
The side, Dolphinoise potatoes. Drink, you'd like the White Russian from the Savoy.
Yes.
And for the dessert, you'd like the Godfather from Bella Pasta.
Exactly right.
What a menu.
Amazing.
Excellent menu, Cindy.
Oh, it's so good.
Beautifully described. Thank you so much.
This was so fun. I've never talked about food with people and then they've sort of incorporated jizz and bis. and yet the conversation has continued.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
In a jubilant way. That's never happened.
It's because it had to, I guess. I mean, if this is not a podcast and Ed had said that, you might have gone, okay, I'm still like, because like, you're really ruining this chat I'm having with you about. I was trying to talk to you about potatoes. You said about jizzing lamb.
I'm talking about lamb jizzing on some potatoes.
So goodbye.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So thank you for having
me,
guys.
Much,
this
Cindy.
Has been great.
Wonderful, wonderful stuff from Sindhu there.
Ooh, delicious. I saw your mouth watering a couple of times, Ed.
It did. I was spraying all over the place.
Yeah, that's how
absolutely
much
loved that menu. I think that's one of my favourite menus, I think.
Yeah, no sweet chilli sauce. Thank you very much, Sindhu.
Thank you, Sindhu.
You get to stay in the restaurant and eat your full meal.
We are on the same page. Thank you very much, Sindhu. Cindy's on tour later in the year.
Yeah, make sure you catch her. You can find her dates online. As of the time of recording, they've not been announced yet, but you should be able to find them. Just Google Cindhu V Tour.
Google Cindhu V Tour.
Follow her on Twitter. There's all sorts of ways to follow up on this kind of stuff. I mean, you have to tell you that kind of thing. You know how to navigate the internet.
I'm on tour as well. You can find that on the internet, I'd imagine. And James is on tour.
Yeah, that's probably somewhere on the internet.
Look on the internet.
Thing. We forgot to say at the top about all the food we've been sent this week.
Oh, shout out to all the people sending us food. Thank you very much.
Especially to my two friends, Ben and Jerry.
I mean, this was a big moment for James when we got a little message through from Ben and Jerry saying we'd like to send you some stuff. This is like James's life finally clicked.
Yep.
And he was like, this is it. This is all I've ever wanted from stuff.
Yep. I started doing stand-up comedy in 2008 on the open mic circuit, and it's all been building towards this. 2 years, slogging it out on the open mics, then doing tour support for people for another year and a half, going to Edinburgh year after year, doing solo shows, then doing the panel show circuit, just working my way up, getting a podcast with my friends, mentioning Ben and Jerry's enough on it that I get Ben and Jerry themselves contact me and say, what's your address? We're sending you some ice cream. And my parents were like, well, they won't be able to send you some proper ice cream. It'll melt in the car. No, it won't. They've got a special way of delivering it, and I couldn't be happier. Thank you, Ben and Jerry. You made a boy very happy.
Thank you, Ben and Jerry. But not just Ben and Jerry. Thank you to Seed and Bean for sending us some lovely chocolate.
Mm-mm-mm.
And thank you to Happy's.
Happy's.
Sending us some of your wonderful pea crispy snack things.
Wait to dip them into my ice cream.
Yeah, everything's getting dipped in that ice cream now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And obviously keep sending us stuff if you want a little shout out, because quite frankly, I'm supposed to be eating healthily at the moment, I told myself.
Yep.
But it turns out if it's free, it doesn't count.
No, if it's free, it does not count. And I also found out that I have absolutely no shame when it comes to getting free stuff. I do not care.
No.
I will quite happily on this podcast encourage anyone to send us food.
Also, we got some Laurent Perrier champagne as well.
Oh, to celebrate getting the Ben and Jerry's.
What the gentleman from Laurent Perrier said is, he said, I'll send you some bottles to share with your next guest. I thought, yeah, you can fucking...
Yeah,
no chance.
As if.
Yeah. I think we'll be releasing a podcast where it's just me talking to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what a wonderful guest you are, Ed.
I've got Laurent here as my guest. Well, thank you, Cindy V, and thank you everyone who gives us food.
Subscribe to the podcast, review the podcast. We love you all.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Shrink the Box is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favorite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Namon Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behaviour creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Box is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.